As we continue this morning in the Gospel of Matthew and following the lectionary passages all the way through the end of this year, looking particularly at Matthew's understanding of the kingdom of God in our midst, we just prayed for that would show up on earth as it is in heaven. And these first several weeks, we've been looking at cultivating these kingdom values, the value of worth and the value of patience. And today we're going to look at the kingdom value of abundance. And that's something we don't hear too often, especially in church. We never have an abundance of anything. It seems we never have enough of anything. Maybe that's true in your family. It certainly seems true in our world. The way that marketing works is to convince us that we never have enough and we always need more. And we've bought into this idea in the church that we never have enough to do what we think God is calling us to do. And so we're going to turn today to Matthew chapter 14 and begin reading this familiar story beginning in verse 13. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them, and he healed those who were sick. And that evening his disciples came to him and said, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There is no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "But Jesus, we have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he blessed them, and he broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And everyone ate until they were full, and they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Just a little bit of background and context before we come fully into this story. As Jesus is doing this miracle, it's not an isolated incident. Truth be told, it happens in the middle of a really tough time for Jesus. We often forget how human he was. We often forget how much he suffered, not only on the cross, but throughout his life. How much he grieved, how much pain he felt, how much he felt for the people and had compassion for others and loved others. He was every bit as human as you and I, and yet still God. But in his humanness, he was having a pretty lousy week. See, because last week we finished up some of the parables in chapter 13, and after he finishes teaching those parables at the end of 13, it says when Jesus finished these parables, he departed, and then he went to his hometown. He'd been teaching, and now he's going back home to his parents' household, get a break, go home for a while, be with family, just kind of rest up. We all need those times. And he goes back and he starts sharing in the synagogue in his hometown, and the people reject him. His own household, his own friends, the people he grew up with, run him out of town. And as if that's not bad enough, he's now fleeing from those who have rejected his message, who have claimed that he's become something he's not. "We knew you when you were growing up. How can you be this prophet?" They run him out, and then he finds out the news that his cousin and friend, John, the baptizer, has just been served up at Herod's feast, quite literally, with his head on a silver platter. His cousin, his friend, murdered because of the word that he had spoken out against the political powers of his day. Herod had arrested John, put him in prison, and then killed him. Jesus has just heard about this in the passage we read today. He's been run out of his hometown. He's been rejected by everybody he grew up with. He's just heard that his friend has been murdered by the powers of the empire. And he goes off to withdraw to a deserted place by himself. And we can't blame him. Jesus is hurting. Jesus is grieving. Everything in his life seems to be falling apart in that moment. And we know what that feels like. We know all the questions, all the wonders that come to our minds. And yet, when he goes off to get by himself, he looks out and sees, guess what? Well over 5,000 people, maybe as many as 10 and 15,000 by the time we add the women and children into the mix, gathered on the hillside waiting for him, wanting more. Heal us, save us, teach us, feed us, give us more, Jesus. And we can say, sure, God is an endless supply, but in his humanness, Jesus was not always an endless supply. I imagine, if anything, abundance was the last thing on his mind in that moment. He went to be alone. He went to grieve. He went to rest. He went to recover, to be alone with his Father God. And here he is with everyone making more demands on his life. But it says that Jesus looked out of the crowds. It doesn't say he celebrated. Hey, I'm so glad you all came. This is going to be a great party. Jesus wasn't looking to be with the crowds in that moment. It says instead that Jesus was moved with compassion for them. Sometimes compassion doesn't come because we necessarily want it to. It comes because it's one of those values of the kingdom, one of those fruits of the Spirit that is cultivated in our hearts. When we plant those seeds of God's Word in our heart that we talked about the last several weeks, compassion is one of those things that bubbles up in us. And out of Jesus' compassion, he said, you know what? For this moment, I've got to put myself aside just one more time. Even when he had nothing left, it seemed. He set himself aside and he healed the sick and he provided for their needs. And it gets to the end of a long, long day. And the disciples know Jesus is tired. And quite frankly, the disciples are probably tired too. And they're all ready to go and get some rest. And everybody's getting hungry. And the crowds are starting to grumble and complain. And the disciples say what any of us might have said. Jesus, enough is enough. Turn the lights out, lock the doors, send them home. We're done. Let them go back to the cities. Let them go back to the villages. Let them get food for themselves. We don't have enough. We never have enough. And Jesus looked around, and he looked at his disciples. And in verse 16, we read that Jesus said to the disciples, "There is no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." Now, I've been around church people long enough to know that that's not the response they want to hear. Because I can imagine what it must have been like when the disciples went to Jesus the same way many people come to the preacher. Preacher, people are hurting. People are angry. People are mad. People feel like they're hungry, and you're not doing enough, and you're not providing enough, and you're not getting the people in the pews, and you're not reopening the church, and you're not getting us enough money, and there's a million things that you're not doing. Jesus, fix this. Preacher, fix this. Whoever, Sunday school teachers, council, whatever, your leaders in the church, fix all of our problems. Make us all happy. Make the crowds happy. And I know there's some of you sitting out there watching who have said that even in this past week. Make us happy. Whether it's to me or to our leadership or to somebody else. We want to pass the buck up. We don't want to take the responsibility on ourselves. We want to pass it on to somebody else. And who better than the leadership? In this case, Jesus. One of my favorite Christmas movies, White Christmas. There's a song in that movie about life in the army. And in the army, the line says that the beautiful thing about the army is that there's always someone higher up where we can pass the buck. I imagine that's how the disciples felt. Hey, Jesus is here. He'll take care of it for us. We don't have to deal with these crowds anymore. Jesus will take care of it. How often do we do that? As a leader in the church, I'm one of those people that a lot of times the buck gets passed to. I get it. But I also am thankful. And I'll confess, moment of vulnerability here, I'll confess that I appreciate being in a system in the United Methodist Church where there are people above me in the district superintendent's office and the bishop's office and the annual conference. And as much as all of that can be a pain sometimes and as political as it all gets, I appreciate the fact that there are times that there are moments when I can kind of pass the buck on up to them and say, hey, this was their decision, not on me. I appreciate that. I get that. I know it's our nature. But Jesus flips it all around. Jesus doesn't just work the miracle. Jesus doesn't just fix the problems. Jesus doesn't send the people away. Jesus turns to the disciples and says, hey, you all, go feed them. With what, Jesus? We've got nothing. 5 loaves of bread and a few fish. To 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 people. And yet somehow when they finally said, okay, whatever we got, it's yours. Now how that miracle actually played out, I don't know. What I do know is that all the food did not appear up front with Jesus and the disciples before they started distributing it. Jesus didn't just do a magic trick and all of a sudden there was more food and everybody saw all the food up there on the tables and said, hey, now we got a buffet, now we got a feast. It's a potluck. The food never runs out. I don't think I've ever been to a potluck where the food runs out. Somehow there's always enough. They didn't see that. They didn't see the tables spread out with food. They just gave what little they have. And all Jesus did was take those couple of pieces of bread and those couple of fish and give it up to the Father and say, God, thank you for what you've given us. He didn't say, God, you know we don't have enough here. You're going to have to do something, make a miracle. He didn't even worry about whether they had enough. He just assumed there was going to be enough. And he said, God, thank you that you've given us everything we need. And I can imagine, again, the disciples looking at Jesus holding up the bread and fish. What do you mean giving us everything we need? Have you seen how many people are out here? We don't have anything. But all Jesus does is give thanks for what they had. And in that thanksgiving, he hands it back to them and they start handing it out. And I imagine there's probably others. Jesus knew that poverty was extreme in that day. He knew that there were many people in that crowd that probably wouldn't get a meal, even if they did go back to their homes or their villages. But there may have been others among them who brought enough for their families, maybe more than enough. And I imagine as that bread and that fish started to be spread and people started realizing that it was being shared with them, there might have been those families who said, hey, you know, we've got more than we need too. Let's spread some of ours around, just like the disciples did. Or if we read John's account, it all started with a little boy. And I shared that with the kids on the Facebook message this morning, if you watch that video, the kids about, you know, even this little boy that didn't think he had anything except his own lunch, and somehow Jesus used him. He's never too young to be important, to serve God and the kingdom. And so people start spreading out and handing out whatever they have. See, that's the real miracle. It's not just the miracle of all of a sudden, poof, all the food appears like a magic act. There's a miracle in the fact that we are willing to come to a place of saying, God, thank you for what you have given me. And I trust that it is enough. And whatever you have given me, I am going to give back. And the miracle that everybody keeps giving and giving and giving, and they keep passing the food and passing the food, and by the time it's all said and done, what they thought was never going to be enough ended up filling 12 baskets of leftovers. Enough for all the 12 tribes of Israel. For all of God's people to feast on the bread of life. It's the abundance of the kingdom of God. It's amazing to me how in the wealthiest nation in the world, with all the safety nets that we have, with all of our insurance and our retirement funds and all of our comforts and security blankets, everything that we've got to protect us and to insulate us and to make sure that we never go without a meal and we never have to worry about where we're going to lay our head at night, that with all of that, somehow, we still feel the need to hoard. Somehow, in March, we still seem to think that we needed 20 packs of toilet paper to get us through a couple of weeks. To which the best response I heard was, if you need 20 packs of toilet paper to get you through a couple of weeks, COVID-19 is not your problem. You have digestive issues and you need to see a doctor. But either way, we as a people are hoarders. We never seem to have enough. We keep wanting to collect more, and we don't realize how much God has already given us to be able to feed the masses. There's a story that's told about a brother and sister, young kids. They're adopted from a place where they were in a bad situation. Their family didn't have anything. They couldn't feed them. And they sit down in the adopted family's home, and they're thrilled to have a home. They've been in an orphanage. There was hardly anything to go around in this orphanage where they were at. And they sit down in their new home the first night at dinner. And the mom puts spaghetti on the table, big plates of spaghetti. And she serves the girl first. And the girl takes her plate and she passes it over to her brother. And she's not going to eat. And mom looks and says, that's your plate. I've got one for your brother. Don't worry. And the girl says, no, tonight is my brother's turn to eat. He'll eat tonight and I'll eat tomorrow night because I ate last night. And that's all we have. And that's all she was used to. That's all she knew. Was that somehow one small meal, one small plate, way smaller than that plate of spaghetti that was in front of her, was supposed to feed the both of them for 2 days. And so the mom takes the girl and says, no, don't worry, your brother will be taken care of. There's enough, trust me. And she takes her over to the pantry. She opens the cabinets. And in that pantry, there is more food than that little girl has ever seen in her life. She's in awe. And then the mom takes her over to the fridge and the freezer and opens it up full. Girl's never seen anything like it. She must be in heaven. This is God's banqueting table. How can this much food even exist in the whole world? And yet it's what all of us have in our homes right now. That little girl got a taste of abundance. That little girl realized that in God's house, there's always more than enough to go around. And so what about us? What's our role in all of this? We have two choices. We can sit back and say, preacher, counsel, Jesus, fix it, take care of this. We can. We can pray for a miracle, for the food or for the money or for the people or whatever else we're looking for to just fall out of the sky and appear in our pews. That's, maybe. We can pray for that. We can ask for that. I'm not convinced that's really how God works. Because you see, while the disciples were absolutely and utterly dependent on Jesus' presence to be able to work that miracle, absolutely. To work a miracle, we depend on Jesus. We can't do it ourselves. But there's another side. And that is to say that while we need Jesus to do a miracle, while we need Jesus to feed the world and to show compassion on those who need the most, we need Jesus to do that. But guess what? Jesus needs us too. And Jesus won't do the miracle until we're willing to open our hands and let go of what he has already given us. That when we go to Jesus and we ask for a miracle and we ask for God to save our church or to save our family or to save our nation, and God says, hey, guess what? Thank you for all that these people already have in my name. And then Jesus looks at us and says, take it and go. Feed them. You do it. You take care of it. You've already got what you need to make the miracle happen. It starts with a spirit of thanksgiving instead of a spirit of scarcity and worry and anxiety. Do we say we don't have enough? Or do we say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you have already given us more than enough? That, friends, is where the miracle begins. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we're always in need of miracles. We always feel like we're in need of more. And we know that we depend on your grace every single day. But God, help us to be more aware of the ways you are already present, of the gifts you have already given us, of the opportunities right in front of us to serve. And help us to come not with a spirit of begging and pleading and anxious worry, but help us to come before your throne with a spirit of thanksgiving, to give you praise for all that you have blessed us with, and to take those blessings and to be a blessing to all the world in your name until your kingdom comes fully on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.